The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Buffalo Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Breaking Buffalo Rumblings. Anthony Marino, happy to be here with you once again, talking everything Buffalo Bills. And as we are here in the off season, you know, I like to bring in different guests to the show now and then. I'm proud to have with me today, he's the host of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues podcast. You probably follow him on Twitter at UK Bills. It's Matt Swain. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me, Anthony. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate the podcast and the work that you do and always getting your perspective, right? I mean, I think we know all the time and we hear about that. Oh, the Bills have a worldwide fan base, but the podcast that you do, you know, every few weeks as it comes out and every week during the season obviously gives a great perspective for fans. Why don't you tell us a little bit first, I guess, how you got started with the pod? I think that would be a great place to start.
Yeah, sure. It's probably about before last first episode, last April, I think it was about a year in the making. Just obviously I run the UK Bills fan group, backers group over here in the UK. So I thought there'd be a way to try and broaden our views a little bit, get our point of view over a lot more than just a simple tweet, a simple Facebook message or a blog, anything like that, and actually just get to allow the listeners to hear the real fans themselves and actually what our opinions are. I mean, I'm lucky with my podcast that I have Alex, my co-host, who is actually from Buffalo. So we've got that nice, unique blend, him giving me all the hometown stuff, me giving off the opinions, and we work really well. And we're on our about 68th episode coming up, and it's going great. And I love every single minute of it.
Well, and I've enjoyed your podcast as well. Kind of discovered it a few months ago and was lucky enough for you guys to have me on the pod after the draft to talk about everything that the Bills had done. Before we talk about the current state of the Bills, though, mm-hmm. I mean, how for yourself being in the UK, how did you become a Buffalo Bills fan?
For me, I was there from 99, just after the game that I had been told never to mention. But at the time, it was more on and off. But then I got really into it middle of the noughts, about 2004, when I really got start digging deep into it. When I was at uni with mates, we'd watch the Super Bowl and always had that thing with the Bills going on. So I always followed them wherever they go. And then about 2013, 2014, it was a case of a load of us on a website, NFL UK, on a forum, just started get a group together. And since about 2015, 16, I started taking over and trying to grow the group all the way.
Tell me a little bit more about the group, right? I mean, many of us, right, you participate in different Bills backers groups around the States, and you see that. And, you know, of course, the fandom in Buffalo is expected, but when you get around the country, but what type of a turnout do you have for games and with the UK Bills backers?
With us, we're all over the country. So we have of Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and we could be all bred up and down the country, I think. We've been trying to get a fair few meetups going, but the only issue that most people know, or UK Bills fans will know, is just the location. We had a gathering for the playoff game against the Texans in January, which was well received, and just getting loads and loads more people coming up to me and saying, can we get another meetup, and just trying to grow the group. I think when the Bills came over in 2015, I think that's where we really started to get the boom, because we hosted a bus tour of London and a pre-game party on the Saturday night before the game. It was well received. So it's something that we're working on as a group. I've got a few trusted admins with me to actually try and help us grow, but we're hoping to add a lot more meets. And I know that slowly we can gradually get this, get the fan base growing.
You know, and I'll have you include all of this at the end of our interview here today. But if people want more information, if they want to find you, where should they go? Because I imagine some that are listening might want that information.
Yeah, predominantly we're on Twitter. It's at UK_Bills is the main Twitter. And obviously, if people want to listen to our podcast, it is at RWBB_pod. So that's where our Red, White and Buffalo Blues podcast. We'll hopefully get another episode in within the next week, which is going to be quite good. It gives us a lot of time to actually to plan it and make sure that we can provide these good good quality episodes for everyone.
So, Matt, let me ask you a question now as we start to look forward to this season. And I know that you and Alex talked about it on the pod a little while ago. Of course, there's always the talk around the primetime games when the schedule comes out. Fans are excited of, oh, you know, Monday night football, Thursday night football, you know, Sunday night games, all of these things with, as Bills fans, right, where you think to yourself, okay, we're at the point where we're good enough now that, you know, we want to be featured in primetime, and that's fantastic. Now, of course, with that comes is again, right, oh my gosh, these games, they get done around midnight or whatever it may be, and I'm complaining about it. But for the for your situation where you have the game starting at 1 o'clock in the morning, what kind of struggle is that for the fans in the UK and part of the group?
To be honest, I think most people actually, I shouldn't be saying this on the live one now. I think most people throw a inverted sickie for the following day. Cause usually the games won't finish till about 4:15, sometimes even 5 o'clock, depending obviously if it ever went to overtime or anything like that. But the struggle is real. They obviously, everyone's been up, probably up since about 7-8 a.m. in the morning, waiting all that time. But it's all the enjoyment of the actual having the Bills actually starting to become more prominent, featuring more prime time, that most of our followers, they're actually they're super pumped and probably high on Red Bull or anything like that to actually get him through the game, to be honest.
You know, something that you mentioned before, right? The Bills coming over and playing in the UK, the NFL's commitment to the UK, right? And having games on an annual basis.
Yeah.
Again, right? As a showcase, even in the preseason. I mean, have you seen this as something where it's like, listen, there has truly been a growing fandom, right? Not just for the Bills, but the NFL as a whole. Like, at least from your perspective, do you look at something like this and say, yeah, this is having a positive effect on really what the growth of the NFL brand, I guess you could say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I chat to a load of other NFL-based fan clubs that are actually based in the UK, like the Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs, and all that. And you can see from the amount of interactions, the amount of followers, and all the publicity, especially in the Chiefs' case with the Super Bowl win, that the fan base is growing a lot. And obviously with the tickets, when Wembley games and games at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium come out, you can see that they're all sold out so quickly. It's actually showing that the game's actually growing quite a lot. So we're hoping that we can actually jump on that, jump on and get everyone enjoying a lot more.
That's great. Now, listen, I visited your Twitter profile, right, just to see some of the latest stuff you had going on. Obviously, I follow you on Twitter and we interact from time to time. But I did notice you had already changed your profile picture, or your header picture, I guess you could say, of all the Buffalo Bills getting together in Florida for their own, you know, makeshift workout. And I was just curious, you know, again, with the pandemic taking place across the world and everything that we've seen, obviously, as you made that change with the photo, just what were your thoughts from the different video clips and footage that you saw from that taking place as, you know, Josh Allen and the other quarterbacks, but really the entire offense coming together?
I think it's good. I mean, obviously in the United States, each state, I guess, has their own different rules regarding coming out of lockdown and social distancing and all that. But I actually do like it, because obviously it's showing that the guys do want to get to know each other before training camp, get those reps in, just working on the banter, on the team building and bonding, ready to go for training camp. I think looking at it, I think it's good to see that everyone's working together, everyone's having a laugh and knowing they just want to get the Bills up to the playoffs and ultimately Super Bowl.
Well, and as you talk about that too, I'm curious to get your impression just as it relates to Josh Allen, right? I mean, any Buffalo Bills podcast with a guest, I think I'm contractually obligated to get their thoughts on Josh Allen and his development, right, that took place from year one to year two, but yeah, really the expectations heading into his third year. I mean, from that standpoint, you know, curious to get your thoughts again as you look at him, the development that he's made, but really your expectations heading into year three.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the expectations now are really for him to actually push on a lot more. I mean, I've seen a load of criticism. We have a little Facebook group chat for anyone that's in the Facebook group, and there are a few people on there that want to just knock him down at every stage, regardless of whether it's fault or not. But it's, you're getting a guy that's come from a college from Wyoming, who, okay, they're not the biggest college powerhouse team, but you can see every way through going forward that he's making those mini adjustments, which then roll over each year. I think the continuity they've had with Brian Daboll, and obviously now going into it, the offensive line staying the same, we hopefully can see a lot more improvement from him. I mean, his intermediates up to 19 yards is probably one of the best in the leagues. It's just now seeing if he can make that adjustment from footwork perspective and mechanics to actually hit the one or two deep balls and actually make sure that he can get stats closer to the 300 game. But I think with me, at the moment, I don't care if he's not getting those 300 games, as long as he's putting the team in the position to win. So, I mean, 300 plus yards per game is great. But if he can do that with a combined passing and running and actually getting the team in a position that they can score more points, I'm happy down that line. I always have been with that approach.
I'll tell you, when it comes to the 300-yard passing game, from my perspective, I hope he just does it in the first game of the season, yeah, so people can stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's always one of those pieces, even as I look back to last year, right? I mean, listen, the team goes 10-6, you know, could have gone 11-5, right? Maybe if they had to against the Jets in week 17. But it just would seem like there was this underlying narrative the entire season of just, when's the 300-yard passing game coming?
Yeah.
And trust me, while I'd love to see him throw for, you know, 400 yards passing in a game. But with that said, it's just a little bit of a, I don't know, it was a little bit of a tired narrative for me, because you're just talking about something statistically where does that really matter, right? If you're a running back or wide receiver and you're consistently, you know, rushing or receiving for 80, 85 yards a week, no one's going to sit there and say, well, when is Devin Singletary going to break out for a 100-yard game? Or when is John Brown going to, you know, have 100 yards receiving? It's just one of those pieces where I've always thought it ties in more to fantasy football and yeah, some of the stats that go with that than a piece to your point that, you know, is it putting the team in a position to win? If it is, then that would be one thing. But obviously the team had success, you know, last year, and I don't know, just a narrative that I don't need anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone you say loves the 300, loves the 300 game, and once on the stat, they're comparing him to obviously Sam Darnold, was it Drew Locke as well, Daniel Jones, them all throwing those games. But it's all about the supporting cast at the end of the day. And say, I'd rather have say, three or four 19-yard passes actually getting us closer and closer, and then having Singletary run it in, then actually have them bombing every single time for 30-plus yards, where you've got that chance that it's going to be intercepted or incomplete, and it's going to set you back down. So I'd rather go the progressive route, open up the playbook, and obviously keep the possession.
Well, and obviously a piece that should help with the progression for Josh Allen and the entire Bills offense, right? The trade for Stephon Diggs. You know, I know we're talking back a couple of months now, but as you think about when you heard that news, what was your reaction there, and what kind of impact do you think he'll have with the team?
Initial reactions, I was actually, I think my jaw hit the floor about a couple of times, actually just reading about it, but I think it's a really good addition. I think it's going to open up the game a lot more, because you've got Cole Beasley, who can work the slot. He's very shifty in his route running. You've got John Brown. He can move. He can actually blow the lid off the top if necessary. And then you've got Diggs, who pretty much is the same as John Brown. So you've got those three good receiving objects. No, not objects. positions and players. But I think when the news first came out, I know I had so many people saying that we paid over the odds for him. But in reality, and I've said it, when you look at what they gave up for Diggs, you're moving up to, you could potentially move up to 17th in the draft just gone. And right. That may not have been enough. That may have just been enough to get one of the top three receivers coming out of the group. But I think with Diggs involved, I think it's going to open up a lot more of the game, because you're going to have him potentially double covered. You could have, and then I'll leave Smoke, you'll leave Beasley, Dawson Knox, whoever the wide receivers are on the play at the time, allow them to be a bit more open, and obviously give Josh a lot more time, because he knows that he's got, if his first option is not there, he'll have two or three extra that are actually going to be in single coverage.
Well, and as you talk about it too, right, and initially the thoughts were heading into the draft, right, like what, or heading into free agency before the trade took place. Hey, how far would the Bills have to move up if they wanted to get one of those top wide receivers? And as you look at it, even from that standpoint, regardless of what the cost was and moving up from that standpoint, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, all very talented wide receivers, but in no way are any of these guys a sure thing. Right. I mean, you can look at the level of success that they had in college, and that probably ties more to Jeudy and Lamb, right, as Ruggs is a bit underutilized at Alabama. But think to yourself, you know, nothing is a sure thing when it comes in with a rookie wide receiver, where you take someone like Stephon Diggs, and to say someone is a sure thing, it can always be a bit of a stretch. But here is someone with the proven track record in the NFL with, you know, mediocre-ish quarterbacks, right? When you think of guys like Case Keenum that he's worked with, Kirk Cousins, of course, better, you know, than that standpoint. But, you know, as you look at it, Diggs can come in and deliver right away from day one, and certainly something that the Bills offense needs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's obviously showing the being a McDermott in the let's push on now. We're coming up to the the window and all that. And with Ruggs, Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, are you expecting them to come in straight away first season, get close to 1,000 yards or over 1,000 yards and actually really help the offense out and the team out? But as you say, with Diggs, he's come in, he's four or five, he's into his fifth year in the NFL. He's been successful at the top. He's actually had those 1,000-yard games, led the league in so many categories in the last few years, that it really now gives Josh Allen that building block and that extra piece, potentially that final piece maybe, to actually start pushing on and putting everything he's worked on in the years since he's been drafted to good effect and maximize the talent available.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities. the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
Now, another piece that the Bills added on offense, Zach Moss with their third round pick in the 2020 NFL draft. While Frank Gore got off to a good start in the 2019 season, saw that he was not that same player, right? Down the stretch, and the team really seemed to struggle with that complementary back for Devin Singletary. I guess heading into the draft, right, there were many of us that were even saying, hey, if the team takes a running back in round two or round three, you know, there's a bunch of guys that they can target. Where did you fall in when it, I guess, came to that? And how much of an impact, I guess, do you see Zach having in his first year in Buffalo?
I think I mentioned previously on our podcast that I was actually a big fan of Zach Moss. I mean, obviously his injury last year really set him back a little bit, but I'm glad that we picked him up this year because he's a strong runner. He can actually he gives that option out the backfield. I mean, during the whole process, I've always said to myself, in all draft processes, I've always said to myself, you go four to seven really is your ideal range to actually pick up a running back, because there are always so many good ones with different abilities all the way through to get premium players in one, two, and three that come make that impact, especially if you have your starting running back already, is probably where you're looking at for it. I mean, I was a big fan of DJ Dallas from Miami. I really wanted him to come out, the Bills to target him, but obviously he went round four, round five. But with Zach Moss, you're getting a guy who can run hard. He can actually, he does have that little bit of elusiveness in him, and it will actually make a really good complementary to Singletary. And having them both on there will keep the defenses guessing, and you wouldn't have to adjust the playbook and the plays that much, because they're pretty much a similar type of back. Just Zach Moss gives you a little bit more in the receiving game at the moment, not saying that Devin Singletary will not, but obviously Zach Moss is more of a polished out of the two of them as a receiver.
All right. Now, listen, before we do wrap up, I've got five questions I'm going to hit you with.
Okay.
I did not give Matt these questions in advance, right? Because I just wanted to get his initial reaction and, you know, not where you take that time to overthink things too much. So we'll go through these now. The first question for you is, will Christian Wade ever make the Bills 53-man roster?
Yes.
Really? All right. Tell me a little bit on, you know, he's always a hot button topic, I think, for fans on the site and that listen to the different podcasts. Tell me a little bit your thoughts there as it comes to him and his opportunity to make the team.
Well, the fact that obviously he's got the development squad, whether it be the 53 this year or next year, I do believe he can get onto that. I mean, when his rugby days, he was very elusive. He's had that speed and he showed some of it off in the couple of touches he had last preseason. But it's the case he's now got that full year under his belt on practice squad, learning a lot more and actually reading up on best protection and all that. I think next year, or this coming season, we could see a little bit more on there. I'm hoping that if he does make it, it'll be primarily, they'll actually, hopefully, what I want him to, get him started on kick returns and punt returns, making it there, and then maybe being that odd relief back every so often. But we've always been hiring him. We love him over here. We've been trying to get him for ages to come on the podcast. But I think there is a small chance that he can actually make that breakthrough, and I'll probably get hammered for it now. But I will stick by that within the next this season or next season, hopefully should be on the 53-man roster.
But I don't think you'll get hammered for it. I mean, I think there's many fans that are so optimistic about him and the two runs that stand out from the 2019 preseason. I think, right, give kind of a fuel to that you know, that theory. And from that standpoint, right, for so many Bills fans, it's just been easy to say, well, you know, he played rugby his entire life. He's got to learn the game. It's, you know, talk about a learning curve, this and that. But there's certainly a sense of optimism. So I don't expect you to get hammered there. So this next one, though, might set you up to take a little bit of a beating because you have to pick just one. You can only extend one of these two players, Matt Milano or Deion Dawkins. Who do you sign?
Oh, okay, yes. damn it. I'll probably say Matt Milano. I was a massive fan of his when he came out, and I just think he gives you what you need on that defense. Him and Edmonds will make a good team, and Milano's had that experience back in early college and high school where he's actually done a bit of coverage, bit of safety work, and everyone knows it's hard. Well, probably not hard anymore, but it's harder to try and find that linebacker that can do all three stages to stop in the run, pass, and obviously coverage. And Milano offers you that greater experience. And if you say, for example, we use Voshon Joseph, or even some of the guys that have come out this year, even though he's had that experience, you can clearly see that what he brings to the table, the intensity and the way he can actually lock down tight ends, as a really good drawing board for that defense, and him and Edmonds could form that defense for the next five, six years. I mean, and draft wise, you can get a decent tackle, a decent left tackle out from draft, even free agency. But I would probably say Milano over Dawkins.
It's always such an unfair question, right? Just for so many fans, it's like, well, heck, how come we just can't sign both? Or if you cut this guy and you cut that guy, you roll over this money. But, you know, I think it's always just a difference in philosophy for us, right? Like, if you had to pick one, which direction do you go? So, all right. So the next three, I'm going to ask you for a candidate for the 2020 squad to win these three awards, right?
Okay.
The first one is the dark horse MVP, right? You can't pick Josh Allen in this type of situation. That's too easy of a pick, but you know, somebody that just wouldn't be that obvious name that you would look at and say could be the dark horse MVP for the Bills in 2020.
Let's try and think. Dark horse. Can I do offense, defense, or just have to choose one person?
No, you can do two if you want.
Okay. Offense, I'm actually going to say Gabriel Davis. I think he can come in as a fourth, learn a little bit more, and on certain sets, I think he's got the physicality and the speed to actually make a difference and make a few more plays in there. Defense, I am going to say Saron Neal. I think with him, he can play inside, outside. I think he's had a few spells as the big nickel, the Buffalo nickel on there. And I think what they've seen of him and how much I've heard people talk about him, like him, I think he's really a candidate there for breakout and dark horse candidate on that defense.
Well, those are two obviously good choices that fit the criteria, right, of being a dark horse MVP from that standpoint. And Saron Neal, he is going to be an interesting one, right, because he is does have some flexibility in what he can do. And right, when you talk about the Buffalo nickel or the big nickel, and that's become much more of a phrase being used at this time, even with Sean McDermott making some changes to his staff, having a nickel coach, they really didn't do anything in the draft to address a big nickel, right, where they talked about players like a Jeremy Chinn or a Kyle Duggar. But, you know, Saron Neal would be probably the most likely candidate to fill that spot for the team. So I think that's a good one. If you had to look at someone and to identify them as, you know, kind of your choice to be the most improved player on the team this year, I think there's enough candidates that, you know, you can think of that can make that next step. Maybe they're early in their career, or, you know, even someone that just having a revitalization and joining the Buffalo Bills. But who do you look at from that standpoint?
for me, it's going to be Dawson Knox. I think first year, obviously, being thrust into the starting role, obviously due to Tyler Croft's injury, he's shown glimpses on there. But I think he can be that guy. He's got that year's experience under his belt now. He knows the environment, and I can see him breaking out and actually taking advantage of the fact that on the outside, on certain plays, he will have Beasley, he will have Diggs, and he'll have Brown to take away coverage to allow him to flourish under the through the middle.
Well, that's obviously a great choice, and I think will be one for many Bills fans. Last question I have for you. You have to buy a jersey of one current Buffalo Bill, but it cannot be a starter. Which jersey do you buy?
Cannot be a starter. Okay, that's definitely stumped me now.
I thought this was going to be an easy one for you, but I guess not, based on one of your earlier responses to a question I had for you. But yeah. I thought for sure Christian Wade was just going to roll off the tongue for you.
He would be. Obviously, we'll put that if he made the 53, then yeah, it'd definitely be okay. Christian Wade. No, he'd definitely be one of them. I mean, if we're talking actual players actually on the, that would potentially be on the 53-man roster on there, I would probably say Ciaran Neal. So Ciaran Neal and Christian Wade. But if I choose one, obviously being British, it should be Christian Wade. But Ciaran Neal would be another choice for me.
Now, again, great picks for you. And it's not easy when I put you on the spot with that. Yeah. You're the first one that I ran through this gauntlet of questions. So I think you did a pretty good job under the circumstances.
I've done it a few times to other guests on my podcast. So now I know what they feel like.
Well, I was on with Joe Marino last week for Locked On Bills, where it's kind of this, you know, he'll put a name out there and you have to give your first initial reaction. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, okay, what's he going to come at me with, this and that? And the first name he came to me with was Alex Van Pelt. And I was just like, you know, Joe, you can start things with a little bit of a softball here, right? You don't have to go to the backup quarterback from two decades ago and ask what my initial thoughts are there. But
yeah,
it's always fun. It's always good to have this type of discussion and obviously to catch up with you. As I said before, I enjoy the podcast that you and Alex do. Why don't you, again, I know we talked about it earlier, make sure everybody knows where they can find you, where they can find the podcast so they can check out the great things you guys do.
Yeah, it's the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. You can find us at RWBB_podcast. We've got, hopefully this week, me and Alex are working on a nice little segment, a nice little episode to drop probably a week today on the evolution of the wide receivers from when McBean and McDermott actually joined the Bills. Follow our main Twitter, which is at UK_Bills. If you do want to get in on our Facebook group, we are at Buffalo Bills UK, and we do have an Instagram, but we're not as active on there at the moment, but it'll be UK_Bills.
Matt, it was great catching up with you today. I appreciate you spending some time with us and look forward to that future podcast and obviously all the great work that you guys continue to do. For all you Bills fans out there, make sure you check out Matt and the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues podcast. And of course, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get all the great podcasts here at BuffaloRumblings.com, including Breaking Buffalo Rumblings, Buffalo Rumblings Q&A, Believe, Circling the Wagons, and the Nick and Nolan Show, and of course, Blitz Bills as well. So we appreciate you guys always tuning in. Thanks for listening, and go Bills.